This is season 2 of the Designing Transition podcast, a bilingual audio tapestry where we weave interviews, commentaries, and artistic explorations in Spanish and English. We converse about designing for systems-level change toward more sustainable and equitable futures, as well as the transitions design is taking in theory and practice. Today's conversation is in English. We will now direct our Spanish-speaking listeners to the end of the episode for the commentary in Spanish. La conversación de hoy es en inglés. Te invitamos a escuchar nuestra discusión en español acerca de esta al final del episodio.
This time we're sharing with you the second episode of a two-part series showcasing portions of a conversation the Designing Transition team hosted during the 3rd North American PhD by Design Symposium, an online event held in April 2021. Our conversation was titled PhDs in Design, Reforming Knowledge, Practices, and Boundaries. In the second episode, we delve into the thick of the conversation. The discussion covered a couple of key topics. First, participants reflected upon how to develop practice-based research and how to do so in environments or places that may not align with the Anglo-European design classroom. Then we talked about how a PhD in design shapes the way we practice design and the way industry approaches design. Finally, we discussed whether or not our academic research is actually having a real-world impact. As last time, I invite you to share your reactions with us through our social media and extend the conversation beyond its initial Zoom boundaries. So here it is, the conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as we did.
So the first question that we have, so you get a sense of what we're going to be talking about, is how is design research shaping the forms that design practice is taking today in the region? And we're talking about North America as a region. And we think of it as from Canada all the way to Central America.
We also have a second question, which is focused on what are the main perceived drivers and barriers to this process of change that may be addressed by solidifying a PhD research community. And just a brief clarification, we are assuming that moving towards strengthening or even creating a PhD research community within the region would be desirable, but that in a way it's still open for discussion.
I was looking at the, like, based on what you were talking about, Silvana, and then I was looking at the spreadsheet and the comments that we had on the first question, and it struck me, like, to see Julie's comments with Muftahara's comments, like, in contrast, and first questioning if we're talking about academic design research or like other forms of design research. So I would like to hear from that. And then on the other hand, Muftahar is saying like, I'm a bit cynical and I personally don't see the like a real impact with practice. So if any of you would like to jump in and expand on that, I think that's a very interesting juxtaposition there happening.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I'm so glad that you pointed that out. I really like Julie's question as well, just because this is like one of my beefs with design. And I think one of the things that I've been turning over a lot in my head, to give a bit of background, I have an MFA in design. And before that, I was a doctoral student in a communications and media program where I left with my MA because I really wanted to do practice-based design research through the program, and there was no space for it. So I kind of packed up my load, went to an MFA program with the same intentions, and found a very, you know, the opposite side. So in my doctoral program, it's like, yeah, we want you to write and we want you to think deeply, but we don't want you to ask for access to laser cutters or to like, you know, these, or studio space, like these very practical things of like how to apply the theory so it disseminates outside of academia, right? And then on the other hand, inside the MFA program, I'm like, Well, actually, I can't use like this frog persona map because it's completely irrelevant for my context as a Nigerian working in Lagos. It doesn't make sense. Like the theory, the like very liberal subject, individualistic theory that is creating this sheet that I'm supposed to fill out for my practical research is going to mess up my whole research, actually, right? And so there was a pushback on that side because I was being too theoretical for my applied research. And so this is, I think, a good foundation for why I'm so cynical now working inside of the NGO space, really doing the practical thing.
So I can pick up on that. And I kind of like what you're saying about like both doing practical work, doing theoretical work, and how there's like always a little bit of pushback from the other side. And I've noticed that in my own work too, that when I'm in a more non-design community, I tend to be like the super designy person. And when I'm in the design community, I tend to be the research, you know, the social science brain. And I've just learned to accept this kind of tension, and there will always be this kind of tension. I grew up between two countries, so I'm used to this. Like, it's just going to be that you don't belong anywhere fully. And about being cynical about design research actually impacting design practice, I'm a little bit cynical of that, about that too. I'm wondering how much does get outside of the design research community, because I did my master's in human-computer interaction, and I ended up doing some kind of like methods work on evaluation. And I so like looked at like all of this meta-analysis of how research tools are being used outside of academia, and basically they're not. So there's like academic research doing one thing, and then applied, especially like UX research, doing something very different. And this is something that's been worrying me a little bit. How do we make sure those worlds do connect and meet? And what do we need to do in order to do that? And does a PhD allow that? And I think that that's still quite difficult. I'm not entirely sure. And I think that I've been questioning my own choice, like even before starting a PhD, like, why do I want to do this? And what's the purpose? And the frank answer is that the people working on the topics that I also enjoyed, and like the people that I would find on Twitter writing the cool stuff, they would usually be academics. So this is kind of what got me into this area, but I hope it wouldn't be very different from applied design work. That makes sense?
Yes, definitely. I might be putting Sophia on the spot, but I feel like we had a conversation relatively similar, not exactly about like the tensions between design theory and design practice, but about the challenges of trying to come up with a practice-based research. And this part of us that becomes hybrid in a sense, which I think that's sort of what you both are talking about. And I know that Sophia has been reflecting a lot about this idea of hybridization of a designer. So I don't know if you want to add anything on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Marisol. I completely, it really resonates, because I also felt this sort of dichotomy in my own work, where I'm researching the work of designers in the Mexican government. And so it's quite interesting because there is this set of methods utilized, right, in order to do research or to aim for certain outcomes. But these methods are usually tested and used and sort of created in environments that have nothing to do to the spaces where they work within governments, right? And more so in governments like the one in Mexico that has really high levels of corruption, high levels of tokenism, in order to sort of implement innovation without really implementing innovation, so really taxing the back and saying, yeah, we're doing really cool stuff without really doing it or changing things profoundly. So thinking of how can we do practice and research in those spaces and write about them in ways that can be fruitful and really a learning loop for the academic community too.
I just wanted to chime in on the heels of that as you were talking, because it really, really resonates with me. My research and my design work mostly happens in two cities in Nigeria, Lagos, which is like the large, you know, commerce city and everything, and in Ibadan, which is my hometown an hour away, two very, very different settings. But what I think is so interesting and profound is really what you're saying about this spaces and kind of basically the assumption of certain infrastructural bureaucracies that tend to happen in the design methods that we are taught that actually do not exist, especially in Global South contexts, right? So that constant tension of in academia, not just doing the work of working with the communities, but then also trying to do the work of making it legible.
I feel like all the points that you're touching upon are just like touching all my specific, as if you were talking of my research that is happening right now. And thinking about like those different structures and how the timings are so like diametrically different. And how like in the academic institution, they're expecting, like the expectation is that you will finish your field work within a specific time frame, that if you really want to do a practice-based research, it just doesn't happen, especially if you're going into very specific, like very, not specific, but different contexts from what the institution that you're at. So I don't know if anyone else has any other reflections on their own experiences, either on fieldwork or this type of rigidity that we are stumbling upon.
I am. I'll add to this. I think I might be having a very different experience, which I feel is worth maybe mentioning in that case, because I don't have a background in design. I have a long career in economic development at a regional scale. And so I've found design to be incredibly accommodating and welcoming to someone like me who otherwise wouldn't have, say, gotten a PhD in sociology or any other domain, because I don't think I would have been accepted into that type of program. But because design is sort of seeing itself as systems level change, it's interested, at least transition design, it's seemingly more interested in interdisciplinary, you know, practice. And so I think there's an invitation happening in design to other types of practitioners. So, and then now that I'm kind of doing the research, I'm finding that I'm able to have some more freedom between research or practice and mixing the two, and mixing methods, that it's still not totally comfortable. And of course, like any PhD, I think there's, you know, tons of learning curves that I'm experiencing, but somehow I'm finding that as someone who's coming from outside of the field of design, I think it's an accommodating field at this moment, which makes it uncomfortable or not ideal for people who squarely see themselves more situated in design. Like maybe people like me are running amok with with design and maybe making it more confusing.
Yeah, if I may build upon that, something that I've been thinking through, specifically in a US context, is kind of in two parts. So first, I don't have a design background in the traditional sense also, but my exposure to design partnering with the mainstream ways of instigating change, it made me think about organizers and organizers' work. There's a lot of parallels and kind of asking the question of, is there a distinction or is it duplicating that process? Or what's that either correlation, relationship, and or point of tension with that particular way of functioning?
So I can also relate to design being accommodating. Also don't have a design background per se, but even in practice, I found the design field to be very accommodating. Academic design research, I can't really tell, because again, I'm now not doing my PhD in design technically, even though I still will be calling myself a designer and I'll be telling everyone that it's design. But that's another challenge in itself, where in actually another CMU lecture series, somebody was talking about being an ice cube, that you start as like the designer and you're an ice cube, and then over time you kind of like start melting in the water so you can fill kind of like the spaces between all the other things. And I thought that that was quite a beautiful metaphor. The other thing that I was just thinking about as you're talking about kind of like how the design research community is more accommodating is what, so like why the PhD or why this type of work and not outside of the university? And the PhD comes with publishing papers, so like publishing within the academic world. And I'm thinking about what does it mean about how we evaluate our success?
Yeah, that's a very good point, Julie. I think there's some discussion about that because in itself, even the nature of a PhD in design is questionable because it can be all of those things or maybe something else that we might need to create. There's definitely that flexibility that you all mentioned, also obviously constraints within that. But then I think that also raises another question about the outcomes or how we disseminate what we do. And because there's such a broad variation in how the research is sort of synthesized and communicated to the world, because of the methods, because of the processes being so different, it means that maybe the medium is also, could be expanded as well.
And add to that, which, you know, I did the PhD because I always said, I feel like I'm always just building the ship as I'm sailing it. Like in the world of nonprofit, I never had time to read the whole book that I wanted to read to try to better understand the work I was doing. And I wanted to go and be intellectual and really think about things that I was doing with a little bit more rigor. But now that I'm doing that, I'm finding the thing that's most helpful is, yes, to do the reading, but then to find ways to have to materialize it kind of quickly. Because if I sit too long in the research, it just, you know, it doesn't make it designed for me. And so I'm finding there's this really interesting thing happening where all of a sudden I'm applying for kind of grants, or I'm applying for specific, more action-oriented things that happen, force me to have to link my research to something that is seemingly marketable or valuable or impactful in the world. And there's some tension there because I took myself out of the world of needing to, say, fundraise for nonprofit world by going into academia. But now I think that for me, design is somehow the meeting point there. To me, that sort of that those meeting points are what make design unique and useful, and also why design is having such a, I think, a bit, why so many people call themselves designers is because they see themselves as being able to think deeply about something while also materializing it in ways that can be felt and experienced.
All right. So I think on this topic of the publications and what makes a PhD and what makes a PhD in design, it's also a bit what happens once you have a PhD in design and what kind of that type of credentials, what kind of doors it opens. So I think before we go into a brief break, then to wrap up everything, and I'm going to put Luis on the spot here, I would like to hear a bit on his reflections, because he's talking about on the spreadsheet on this, how the fact that there are now PhDs in design, it opens up new different type of doors in practice for leadership.
Yeah, I guess I was sharing a bit of what I've seen, especially in Ecuador, like how can you as a designer position more on some of the decision-making spaces, or even at a university level, like how much you can position yourself on where some of the decisions being made for the students, for faculty. I think our perspective is very valuable, but sometimes it's not there just because of this. I don't know what's the right translation for that, but like estas como castas disciplinares, or like a disciplinary, I don't have the word. Do you have the word? But that has made the designers have a lot of problems in putting themselves in those spaces, like the restrictions that they have. And so, yeah, hierarchies, I think. And so now that you have more like designers with PhDs and with research and more evidence of things that should be done or work that should be done. I think I've seen more people escalating on those hierarchies. And I think a community like this can also contribute to, you know, strengthening that, especially in our context, like putting ourselves more in the spaces where our contribution can like matter.
I think that's a nice way to wrap up this section.
So this part is just for us to kind of summarize what we've been discussing. But before we do that, we also have an opportunity to share a few thoughts, especially after being able to kind of organize our ideas in our heads. And based on what we've been talking about, it seems that there is another question that is important, and it's something that we mentioned before, and it is whether it would help to have or to create a stronger PhD community, whether that could help us continue these conversations and keep sort of weaving, or at least weaving and weaving, or identifying all these elements that are emerging here, and that we see how there are many overlaps and different questions are common to many of us. But based on what we've been talking about and the sort of configuration of the room, another question that is connected to that is where are the borders? Should this really be focused on North America as it is the framing of this event, or beyond, because many of us are coming or are from other places and potentially going to continue our practices somewhere else?
So I can go and say that I would obviously be very happy if there was a community that also goes beyond the US, especially since we can meet so easily over Zoom as time zones allow. There's also a bunch of interesting things going on in Europe that I'll be very, very happy to share. And I believe that there's a lot of overlap.
You know, hearing the whole conversation so far, you know, I was particularly struck by a few things. You know, design is, I think, different. Like every discipline has certain, what you would call like epistemological commitments and certain political commitments. Right? There's like things that you want to see happen in the world as a result of the work you do. And then there is, how do I understand the world so that I can act in it, which is the kind of epistemological bit. Like, what are my assumptions about the world? How can I think about the world? And then what are the consequences of my acting? And for most of design history, I think there was a lot of contention around this bit. And not so much, it was kind of taken for granted, right? Like design is production for industry. It has a certain kind of makeup. And I think one thing that was also more or less taken for granted and still is true. I think this is what differentiates design from other disciplines like anthropology or economics or, you know, the other social sciences and humanities or arts, is its attention to the particular, right? Like Richard Buchanan talks about this in the 90s, right? Where, and Nigel Cross as well, where they say that all designing is about paying attention to the situation that you're in, right? It's paying attention to the community. It's paying attention to the particulars. So whatever epistemologies designers would use would kind of always be slave to, I am now in a situation of working with a group or a community or an institution or whatever. And I have to, therefore, I'm going to make use of whatever is useful to me to make sense of this. So I'll draw from social practice theory if that helps. I'll draw from taste regimes and taste theory if that helps, right? I'll draw from sociology here, and I'll draw from anthropology here, and I'll draw from economics here because it helps me. And I don't think that there was as much questioning. I think that the shift that I'm seeing now, and I think PhD research has had a huge role to play in this, is not only paying attention to why am I choosing the method or methodology or general approach that I've picked, right? But more around the questions of what are my political commitments in terms of the consequences of my producing knowledge and then acting to materialize that knowledge for the benefit of X community or X situation or Y situation.
Do the institutions that we have allow us to push the field in that direction and allow us to do the research that we need to really support that?
I think it's a good question to open up, right? Like, shouldn't, like, one thing is, I personally think like a PhD should change the person doing it, You know, like it should, if a PhD hasn't fundamentally transformed your perception of reality, then it's kind, you've kind of missed the point, right? And I kind of think that, like, yes, PhDs in design should be doing this work of unsettling only, not only like epistemological commitments, but political commitments too. Like, what can design be other than what it is today?
I mean, in some ways, thinking about how, I guess, this ideal, this kind of ideal curriculum for a PhD in design really makes me think back to what we were saying earlier about form and output, right? Because to me, when I think about programs that exist or even PhD programs that exist generally and the expectation that we were talking about with publishing, it takes me back to the idea. Well, it's making me think about that in and of itself as a political commitment, right? So just kind of further expanding this idea of like, what does that look like? And what do we see? Or what do we want to see? I would love to see the political commitments really being present in the expectation of outputs to the point that the idea of text-based or text-focused output dissemination, etc., or synthesization of information in and of itself is questioned, or that there are programs where it's amenable, you know, to petition against that. Because I do really think that even though that is something that we really take for granted, it shapes who has access to the space. It shapes what forms of knowledge we are legitimizing, or making illegitimate.
Durante este episodio en inglés, escuchamos diversas voces de un conversatorio que el podcast Diseño en Transición llevó a cabo durante el Simposio Norteamericano de Doctorados en Diseño. Yo soy Sofía Bosch y les daré un resumen de lo discutido. Estudiantes de posgrado en diseño de diferentes partes del mundo, África, Asia, Europa, las Américas, nos reunimos para discutir diversos temas con respecto a lo que significa hacer investigación de diseño y hacer un doctorado en diseño. En una primera parte, se le preguntó a los y las participantes cómo es que definían el diseño, qué es el diseño. Las respuestas que nos dieron fueron bastante diferentes, diferentes perspectivas de lo que significa la práctica de diseño, la investigación en diseño y la praxis del diseño, ¿no? Esta conjunción entre la teoría y la práctica. Algunas de las cosas que nos comentaron fue esta distinción entre la experiencia en el ámbito del diseño, ¿no? Lo que significa ser un diseñador experto versus un diseñador o una diseñadora que utiliza métodos de diseño en su día a día, pero tal vez no se entrenó formalmente como diseñador o diseñadora. Otras personas decían que el diseño en realidad no tiene nada que ver con eso, que tiene que ver con un abordaje a los problemas, que tiene que ver en generar este toolkit, ¿no? O esta caja de herramientas de donde uno aprende a jalar también de otras disciplinas. Y en este sentido se hablaba del diseño como una disciplina muy generosa, una disciplina que permite la interdisciplinariedad justamente porque es una disciplina que permite que jalemos de la sociología, de la antropología, de las ciencias políticas, de diferentes procesos para informar lo que estamos haciendo y cómo vamos a desarrollar un proyecto de diseño. Una de las participantes mencionaba que el diseño en realidad es como una secuencia de yoga. El diseño es esto que hace que varios ejercicios individuales se sientan en flujo y no se sientan justamente eso, como separados o de forma individual. Es una coreografía entre diferentes sistemas para llegar a un estado deseado. Entonces, finalmente llegamos un poco a la conclusión que en realidad el diseño son estos procesos de sabiduría en práctica. Finalmente, como siempre, Ahmed Ansari resumió impecablemente lo que parecía a lo que estábamos llegando, ¿no? Y que es que en gran parte estamos finalmente generando compromisos epistemológicos dentro del mundo del diseño.
tenemos una mayor intención, una atención a la ética, a la justicia social, a lo político, a lo descolonizador en los proyectos de diseño. Antes el diseño respondía a la industria únicamente, ¿no? Se tenía esta idea del diseño embellecedor, como este toque final de los procesos. Y finalmente el diseño está pasando por esta transición en donde se está convirtiendo en una disciplina enfocada en estos compromisos mucho más grandes, ¿no? Que considera el impacto en la generación de conocimiento y en la práctica. Entonces, algunas de las preguntas, ¿no? que generaban algunos de los otros participantes era si de verdad se podía generar una práctica óptima, ¿no? del diseño informada por la teoría, y cómo es que conectábamos esto a lo que sucede en la industria, ¿no? Porque esto es una perspectiva bastante académica. Entonces, ¿cómo generamos estos puentes entre lo que se está investigando en el mundo académico y lo que se está haciendo en la industria? Y finalmente, Silvana Juri nos invitaba, ¿no? a preguntarnos si las instituciones en las que nos estamos desarrollando como investigadores, como investigadoras de diseño, de verdad nos dan las herramientas y nos permiten generar estos puentes. O si ahí también vemos una necesidad de ponernos creativos y tratar de, pues justamente, generar estos puentes más allá de lo que nos permiten estas instituciones. Una gran pregunta, ¿no? que también se hizo a lo largo de la conversación fue justamente cómo hacíamos investigación en espacios que tal vez no son los que se imaginaría uno dentro del mundo académico, un mundo académico sobre todo dominado por un discurso angloeuropeo, ¿no? Entonces, ¿cómo es que hacemos o aplicamos métodos que estamos aprendiendo en estas instituciones, sobre todo en Norteamérica, en Estados Unidos, algunas europeas, en contextos del sur global, de Latinoamérica, de África, algunos lugares de Asia? Y todas estas son preguntas que justo a nosotros como creadores del podcast nos interesa muchísimo explorar y nos interesaría muchísimo escuchar y saber qué es lo que ustedes opinan. Finalmente, se hizo un llamado general, ¿no? a la comunidad de estudiantes e investigadores de doctorado en diseño para que nos unamos, para que sea una comunidad más fuerte, más solidaria, en donde hay intercambio de conocimientos y que justamente podamos generar estos conversatorios más allá de congresos o simposios, pero de forma rutinaria. Creo que esto es una cosa que nos interesa muchísimo en el podcast y que nos interesaría seguir haciendo. Y justo con esto me encantaría invitarlos a que escuchen el comentario en español de uno de nuestros participantes, Luis García, un diseñador ecuatoriano. Muchas gracias y nos vemos a la próxima.
Ok, sobre la pregunta de cómo está configurando la investigación en diseño, la práctica del diseño hoy en la región, estaba hablando un poco de que siento de que tal vez la investigación en diseño está ayudando a insertar a los diseñadores más en la mesa de toma de decisiones. Al menos en el contexto del que yo vengo en Ecuador, siento que no es muy común ver a diseñadores liderando procesos en instituciones, en universidades y demás. Por ejemplo, no sé, al menos en la universidad de la que yo vengo, siento que, por ejemplo, que un diseñador llegue a ser rector de esa universidad es algo que, no sé, tal vez suceda en 20, 30 años y, no sé, tal vez estoy siendo muy optimista. Porque siento que viene un poco de una lógica de castas disciplinares o de este entendimiento de que solamente ciertas disciplinas pueden ejecutar o estar en ciertos roles, y siento que nuestra contribución puede ser mucho más valiosa en algunos espacios. Entonces, no sé, de nuevo, considerando el contexto, siento que cuando haces o el hecho de que tengas un doctorado o que traigas más evidencia del trabajo que viene de tu investigación, te da de una forma un credencial que, aunque no debería ser, siento que ayuda a que los diseñadores sean un poco más o que sean tomados más en serio. Y también, si es así, o sea, creo que soy consciente que tal vez cómo se enseña diseño o lo que se deba enseñar en diseño en universidades y demás, tal vez cambie un poco y tal vez creo que va a seguir cambiando mucho más en el futuro, y es que no estoy consciente de que, por ejemplo, como diseñadores nos falta aprender temas de administración, temas de liderazgo, incluso más dependiendo en dónde quieras estar. Entonces, no sé, siento que tal vez algunas cosas se dejen un poco más de lado de lo que existe en currículums, en diseño, en este contexto del que hablo, y tal vez se empiecen a insertar otras cosas que ayuden a que este rol o esta posición en la que podrían estar los diseñadores.
You were listening to the Designing Transition podcast, brought to you by
Nandini Nair,
Erica Dorn,
Alex Polzin,
Silvana Juri,
Sofia Bosch Gomez,
Marisol Ortega, with the support of the School of Design at Carnegie Mellon University. The audio production was done by Kyle Levy. Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and follow us on Twitter or Instagram as we release new episodes. You can find us at The In Transition. We welcome direct messages about new guest suggestions, ideas, and comments. Until the next episode,